Nehemiah chapter 10. We're going to start there. We're going to jump around a little bit today. So if you need a pen and paper, there's some paper and pen by the visitors or the welcome desk over here by Kevin. And grab some of them as well. Jeremiah chapter 10. And I want to do one verse out of Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I'd like to start there and then we'll pray. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah was what they called a weeping prophet because he was praying for the nation to come back to God. But part of his prayer, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just this one verse really stuck out to me today. And it says, verse 23 of Jeremiah 10, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to help us understand, comprehend, that the Holy Spirit will absolutely unveil truths and understanding of your word, that we might be able to walk faithfully with you, that every step along the way will be absolutely directed by your hand. And so, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'll help us to avoid wanting to take our life into our own hands and allow it to continue to stay in yours. And so we ask this now in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I find it interesting that Jeremiah would say that, but that a man's life is not his own. Even back then, he knew that. Isn't that interesting? He knew that his life was not his own. There was somebody else that was more in charge than he was. And so as he surrendered to that he would pray for the nation of Israel, that they would come back to God, because they had departed from God. They had walked away from God. And Jeremiah was weeping that they would come back and begin to walk with God faithfully. And so it's really interesting that it's not for man to direct his steps. You and I are not good directors of our own life most of the time, especially if you want to spend eternity in heaven. If the goal of your life is to live this life and honor and please God and to go and spend eternity in heaven, you will not be a good director of your own life. You'll miss it. Why? Because you can't be a savior. You're not the savior of the world. You didn't do anything that would be good enough to save yourself. So the reality is that Jeremiah definitely spoke that very clearly. And so with that, join with me back in Luke chapter 14. I'm going to go there for just a moment. So we're not good directors of our own life, and I think Jesus emphasizes that as well. In Luke chapter 14, I want to begin reading at verse 26. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but it's interesting how God illuminates just a little tidbits that kind of cause a spark to go off in your life. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. And that's the part that stuck out to me. Why does he want me to hate my own life? What is it about that would make God honored, that I would hate my mother, my father, my own life? Why would he allow that? Well, here's what I see when I look at that verse, knowing where he's going, because he's going to talk about taking up your cross, following Christ, denying yourself, take up your cross and following him. If I don't learn to hate my own ways, my own thoughts, my own abilities in this life, there's no possible way I'll ever pick up a cross and I'll walk with him. I have to learn to hate the fact that I think I would be good enough to be able to take my life into my own hands, make my own decisions, and still get to heaven, not based on God's rules who created me, but based on what I think. And so literally what stuck out to me was, I need to literally hate my own way of doing things so much that I pick up God's cross, or the cross that he's given me, and I now learn the purpose and the agenda God had in denying myself, my ways, picking up his cross, and now having a new identity of Jesus Christ in my life, that I walk with him, and I continue to deny myself to live the way I think I should live. I have to literally come to the place where I say, I hate my own way of doing things, and I want to pick up a new way of living, doing things that honors and pleases the Lord. And if I don't do that, then there's no possible way you'll be able to walk with God. Because God will not share his throne with anybody. He is not going to share his position that's supposed to be in our lives with anything. Even if you go back to the Old Testament, once again, even Jeremiah saw that. He says, man is not a good director of your own life. Therefore, here, once again, I need to learn to hate my life, not hate how it's going, but hate the fact that I think that I could literally live my life on my own without God and be okay. I need to hate that part of me, and I need to allow that to die, and then pick up a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of talking, a new way of doing things that reflects the fact that God created me with purpose. And now, because I denied myself, I pick up the cross. What does the cross represent to you? What does the cross represent? A crucified life. A crucified life. I nail Jeff Capel to the cross. Why? Because I know that Jeff Capel has no good thing in him. He will lead himself astray. He will absolutely ruin himself and others that would look at him while he lives his own life. So if I don't learn to crucify that part of me and the things that the thoughts and everything that I would think, I deny that and I pick up this cross, which now gives me a new identity to walk in this life. And once I begin to do that, then I will experience what life is really meant to be. I have died to my own way of doing things my own way. I've died to it. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And you know, I've never caught that, to be honest, to hate your own life. To literally hate the fact that you think, and I think, that we could do this without him. Boy, that's interesting to me. It's really causes me to really begin to wonder how much of my life have I wasted doing my own thing when God says, I'm right here to help you. And so the reality is I need to learn to hate my own life. And because of that, when I learn to hate my own life, something's going to happen. Turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The Gospel of John. Verse 13. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus was talking at the woman at the well. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever, and he was talking about the water out of the well. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring welling up. So once, here's what he's saying is, I can drink the water out of a well or out of a faucet and I'll get thirsty again and again and again. But the reality is this, when I invite Jesus Christ into my life, he then becomes this well inside of me that will consistently and be available to water me or to quench my thirst of anything that would absolutely want me to go back to the world and try to fill my life with that water. So there's this well inside of me that I can dip from, that I can gather from, that I can get from, so that I can consistently have this water that Jesus himself said, you'll never thirst again. Did he say you'll never get thirsty? No. He said you'll never thirst again for the water of the world. Otherwise, what do we need water for? He wasn't saying that you'll never be thirsty. He said you'll never thirst again for the water of the world. Why? Because there's this new well, this new work that God has done inside of you that satisfies, that fulfills, that nourishes everything inside of me that needs to be fulfilled. That needs to be fulfilled. Let's read that again. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, when do you need eternal life? Now. When it's not talking about heaven. That's talking about today. I need that water today to consistently work in me and fill me up so much that I don't long to go back to the water of the well, thinking the world has everything for me to water my life. And I tell you, it's easy sometimes, because maybe when you come to church, you don't feel like you used to, or maybe when you read your Bible, it's real boring. Anybody ever had that happen? A few of you are honest. There have been times I've read it just because I know it's a good thing to do, and I got no feelings out of it whatsoever. But you know what? My flesh doesn't have to have that, but it does feed my spirit. That's what's important. It feeds the very core of me, which is the Spirit of God. And once my spirit gets bigger than my flesh, pretty soon I won't worry about how my flesh feels. I will once again go back to taking care of the very thing of the Spirit of God welling up inside of me so much that I have this spring that never runs dry, welling up to eternal life now. If you have the eternal life now, guess what? Heaven will be your guarantee. But if you don't have the well now, eternity might elude you. Because you might want to live off the old well of the old way of living. And God says, no, I don't want you to live off that old well. I want you to get the well of eternal life. That is now. He's talking about drinking the water that he offers right then and there to the woman that the well that was not only had been married many times, but she had five husbands. I mean, this wasn't a church person. This wasn't a person that was ready to walk with God. This was a person that came to drink just some natural water in the midst of what was going on in her life. She all of a sudden began to see that she needed more of the water that Jesus offered her. And so it's really important for us to enjoy this water that absolutely wells up to eternal life in you. Wells up to eternal life in you. I just feel like he shifted everything I was planning on doing. Oh. It's like that's all I'm supposed to give you. I don't get that. I've got scriptures for you that are way beyond this, but there's something about the water today. Go ahead. Oh yeah, here we go. Thank you.
Well, when we went back to pray for Joy and Mike, it was just like the Lord, he was just giving me that song. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. And I just wanted to sing that over them, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of people, and I didn't want to be singing that, and I didn't think that was, you know, the word to say, but I believe that is the word for Joy and Mike today. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. He will be exalted.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that fun how God works? Isaiah 12:3, if you want to write that down and look that up. Isaiah 12:3. Yeah, that was a good word for you guys today. If it doesn't make sense today, that's okay. Just go home and read it many times and watch God just unveil. He'll reveal. You know, when something is revealed, they're behind a curtain, and all of a sudden you see this curtain draw back, and it's revealed what's happened. That literally is. Yeah, the water that he gave the woman at the well is the same water that he wants to give you and I today. That same water. Same water. It's never gotten stale. It's never gotten old. It doesn't just get stagnant. It's fresh. It's a living well. And interestingly enough, once you invite Jesus Christ into your life, you become the well. But the only way the well can function is if you feed it the Word of God. The Word of God is life. The Word is abundance. The Word is everything. So if you and I learn to gravitate to the Word, we'll continue to have this well inside of us. And out of that well, I'll be able to portion out to you. I'll be able to share with you. I'll be able to share with you and you and you. And I'll be able to portion out whatever God has given me. And really, you know, on Sunday morning, you might want to think that this is the time for me to speak. But I tell you what. This is a time for each one of you to minister to those you sit by, to those you come in contact with, and even during the week, if somebody comes to your mind, give them a call, write a text, or text them, or do something, because out of that well will come a river of life. It's a spring that never runs dry. God isn't ever going to run short of anything that you and I would need, but he definitely has an abundance, because he promises that. And I definitely want you to understand this morning that, boy, I feel like a duck out of water almost this morning. That's weird. I know. That is so true. It's just amazing. It is amazing. Right. No. When God does that, it's.
He just stopped you in your tracks.
It's like everything I had that sounded like it was in order doesn't even match up today. It's just like, wow, okay, I get it. So I'm not going to fight it. And everybody that was tired said, oh, thank God. Oh my. Okay, Lord, what do you want to do with this? What do you want, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're an abundance of everything that is needed here today. You have an abundance of everything that is needed. So here's what we're going to do. I honestly know I'm done. I just know that. So what I would encourage you to do is we're going to dismiss and you can have coffee or fellowship or whatever. But here's what I think will probably happen. When you get up from your seat, there's probably somebody that's going to come to your mind. And preferably, I would like men to men, women to women, those kind of things. If you feel like you need, if you as a man feel like you need to go to another lady, take your wife with you. If you don't have a wife, make sure you ask somebody to go with you. Just don't go alone. That's all I ask. It's just protection. Nothing wrong with that. So, and wives the same way. If you feel like you have a word for another man, make sure you take your husband with you and that you're in agreement. But I believe just during our coffee time or just a time here, I believe God will minister out of the well that you have today. because the Bible does say in I believe it's Ephesians, when you get together, everyone has a word, a song, a hymn, something. And you know, how many times do you ever come to church and you just receive, but you never give? You never give out of what God has taught you this week. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, take an opportunity to give out of what you have, and don't worry about how people respond. Okay? Don't worry about that. Just learn to do it. Just be obedient. So I'm just going to close in prayer. And then as I close, just feel free to get up and mingle. And as you are drawn to someone, make sure that you just say what the Lord is saying. Don't try and make up something. We're not into that. We're not interested in just kind of doing it just because. We want it to be led by the Spirit of God. If you don't get anything, that's fine. Just be okay with it. But I do believe the scriptures that we've already been through, the water, the spring of water that wells up inside of you, I do believe that's not only for today, but that's for the days to come. There's going to be people that come across your path that are going to need what God has been putting in you so that it can come out of you. Father, today we want to thank you and praise you that you're ready and willing to do whatever needs to be done the rest of this day. Thank you for what you did this morning, and now from this moment on, we just commit to you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to continue to do the very things that need to be done. And so, Father, we just want to thank you and praise you and look forward to walking with you the rest of this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. I do have nursing home, so I will be leaving in just a few minutes. But if you need to come up and talk to me, sure, feel free to do that. Otherwise, if the kids aren't done yet, we'd ask that you wouldn't go back and disturb them. Just stay out here and have coffee out here, if that would be fine. And once they're done, the curtain will open, and then you'll be free to mingle back there as well. So if you don't know somebody, please introduce yourself, be friendly, and thank you for being willing to cooperate with us this morning.